Okay, last week I opened up a parable, or we opened up a parable together, the parable of the talents, and I want to spend a little more time on that today. For those of you who are visiting, we're talking about humility. We're in a series on humility. I think this is our 9th week, maybe. I was at a 50th birthday party last night for a friend, and this guy I was sitting next to, we were just rapping, and then he's like, "So what do you do for a living, you know?" So then I told him, I said, "Well, I pastor a church." And he's, "Oh, really? Wow, that's awesome, man." He goes, "What are you teaching on, you know, tomorrow?" And I said, "Humility." And he's like, "Wow, that's great." I can't remember how it came up. And then I just said, "Yeah, I think this is the 9th week." He's like, 9 weeks? Just like that, on humility? How much longer is it going to go? I said, "No say, man. It could be another 8 or 9. He goes, "Are you serious?" I don't think he'll be coming here. But you know what? Interesting, now that I think about it, he started drilling in on me a little bit on some questions about it, and so I started sharing. I just thought about this when I made that comment about him not coming. He started asking me a bunch of questions, and I started just sharing. And then at the end, he goes, "How do you spell your church's name?" And he got out his phone, started writing it down. So maybe he will be here. All right, so last week, if you would, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. In Matthew 25, I want you to just have a bird's eye view of the entire chapter. The entire chapter basically is made up of two parts. The first half of it is a parable, and that's what we're going to talk about right now. The second half is not a parable, but an actual detailed account of what's going to happen when the Lord returns. The Lord Jesus explains what's going to happen when he returns. But both of them cover very much the same territory as it relates to what I'm teaching right now. So there's going to be something we're going to glean from both of them. There is really a lot more to this parable than what meets the eye when you first read it. Now let me just give it to you in a synopsis form so that we don't take time to read the first parable. This is the parable of the talents. This is where Jesus gives to one man 5 talents, to another man 2 talents, and to another man 1. And then he goes away. Well, it's not Jesus giving to him. Jesus is telling the story. This is how the kingdom of God operates. It's as if a master leaves and gives gifts to men. He gives 5 to 1, 2 to 1, and 1 to 1, and he leaves, goes to a far country, and later comes back expecting to receive a return on his investment that he gave to these people. And the one who had 5 talents said, "Look, master, I've taken your 5 and I've made 5 more. And the master said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Because you have been faithful over little, I will make you ruler over much. Enter into the joy of the Lord." And the same exact thing happens with a man who had 2. He said, "Look, master, you gave me 2, I made 2 more. And Jesus says the exact same thing to him. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over little. I will make you ruler over much. Enter into the joy of the Lord." And the third person said, "Lord, I knew you to be a hard taskmaster and reaping where you have not sown. And so, like, out of fear, basically, he's saying, I hid it because I didn't want to lose it. In other words, I did nothing with it. But here, you can have it back. I mean, it's here. It's, you know, it's in good shape and everything." And Jesus' response to him was, "You wicked and lazy servant." I mean, this is heavy. And it says that Jesus took away the one that he had, gave it to the one who now has 10. The one who had 5 made 5 more. Now he's got 11. And cast the guy away, the one who did nothing with his. Very somber parable. There's a couple things that are real important we get out of this, and I'm talking primarily from the standpoint of humility. Now, you may get a little bit lost, like, what's this have to do with humility? Hang in there. It has everything to do with humility. Because a humble servant responds in a certain way, and we're learning the ways of humility according to God. And so these are just some of the ways that a humble person responds, right? All right, so the one that I brought up last week in particular, I said, One thing we all struggle with is, and we do this almost everywhere, any place we go, is what? What do? We compare ourselves. We size people up. We walk into a room, we go to a party, you go to an office event, whatever. You walk in, you get to know some of the people, and immediately we just begin this process of like, who are they? Are they cool? Are they important? Am I more important than they are? You know, I mean, we're not maybe quite that blunt, but you know, this is what we do. We start sizing people up. We compare ourselves with other people. And first of all, just so that you know, the Bible says that those who compare themselves among themselves are not wise. All right, so already just know right out of the gate, it's not a wise action. But like I said last week, I could say to you, so let's just not compare anymore, right? No more comparison. We all good with that? How well is that going to work? You know what I mean? Daniel's good with it, but the rest of us, we're probably still going to struggle a little bit with that. So instead of going that route and saying, just stop comparing, knowing that we're going to still compare, I would rather that we just at least understand something about comparing. If we're going to compare, there's actually a biblical way to compare. And it's very helpful. Let me say it this way. There's a humble way. You can actually compare humbly or with the mindset of one who is humble. And how is that? It's extremely helpful to know something about God when it comes to talents and gifts that he gives to people. First thing I want you to notice is, if you will, let's go ahead and read the very first verse. It's Matthew 25, verse 14. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I just want to pick out something out of this first verse. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Now this is you and me. We're in this picture. He delivers talents or gifts to us, but he delivers what? His goods to them. So the talents that you and I have, all the giftings that we have, whose are they? They're his. We've been looking at that for weeks. I'm not going to take the time to back all that with scripture. We've already done that. They're his talents. I'll give you one. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Who makes you differ from another? He doesn't say you don't differ. He doesn't say you actually are more talented than the one next to you or less talented. He just says, who makes you differ? The key word is who. He's not saying that you don't differ. Who makes you differ? And he says, what do you have that you did not receive? What is the answer to that? Nothing. God says the very breath that is in your lungs is a gift from me. You know, you may even think your mom and your dad made you, but that's not true. It says God formed you in your mother's womb. Even the very everything you have and I have physically is by the hand of God. You may be super talented at basketball. God would say, that's great. You differ from most in basketball. And he would say, who makes you differ? God loves the fact that you're talented at basketball. He doesn't want to take anything away from that. In fact, he rejoices in it because he gave it to you. It's his gift in action. And what he wants is for you to use it and give him honor. Not to do what the devil wants you to do and turn inward with it and say, look at me, I'm awesome at basketball. God's like, oh, you know, you're really kind of missing the point here, son. That was a gift I gave to you, and I want you to use it for my glory. And we're going to talk about how exactly would you use that for God's glory. We're going to talk about that. But the point I want to make is that first, the gifts are from God. And number two, that with every gift is, if you would go ahead and put up that one slide for me that you made for me, Derek, with every gift that God gives to us is an equal what? Responsibility. This is what is important to know when comparing with other people. You and I are going to run into people for the rest of our lives that are less talented than us and more talented than us, more gifted and less gifted, more wealthy and less wealthy, better looking and not so good looking as you are. You know, I mean, all the comparisons are there. And God says, yes, I've given to each one differing gifts. And with each one of your gifts, I've also given you responsibility. So you may see one who has one gift. They're kind of short on gifts and talents. Maybe they're not the most attractive and not the most talented person. But you should know, and I should know, when we consider someone like that, we also, and we may think, you know, I've got more going on than they do. And if we're thinking biblically, we would think, and I've got more responsibility as well. I will answer to God for all the gifts and the talents that I have. What am I doing with them? So I look at someone who has maybe less talents than I do, and instead of feeling prideful, if I'm a humble person, I will look at them and go, and they have a less to answer before God, I've got more. Do you see how it just kind of like takes all the power out of that whole prideful? I mean, I hope that's what it's doing for you. That's what it does for me. It just kind of, it changes the whole picture. It radically changes it, and pride just goes right out the window. It's like, oops. I mean, I've got more to answer for. And now you look at someone else who's got more, and instead of where you used to feel maybe despondent, discouraged, now you're like, hey, you got a lot of talents. And I know what comes with that. Good luck with that. I'm kind of happy where I am, you know what I'm saying? It equals that out too. So instead of feeling, you know, magnified because this person has less, or feeling discouraged because this person has more, you realize there's an equal playing field. God is the great equalizer. With every gift is a responsibility that goes with it. This should radically change. This is a picture God wants us to have in our mind. The right. This is correct. This is accurate thinking. And so it should just go a long way in helping us in comparing. That said, I already said in the beginning, the word says that to compare is not wise. Let me just say this. I started, when I was considering this message, I thought about really skipping this entire teaching right here and talking about what true humility does. True humility, a person who's walking in the fullness of humility, actually does not compare at all. Not because it's not wise, they're even beyond that. They really realize something. I am nothing. We've talked about all that. I am nothing. And neither are you. We all are nothing in the light of God. And so a person who really gets that and walks in true humility, there's no comparison going on in their heart. It's gone. They have surrendered self entirely into the hands of the Lord. And they realize, I am nothing apart from you, because all that I have came from you. But with you, I am wonderfully and fearfully made, and I have many gifts and talents that all came from you. It's like in the beginning, if you remember, many weeks ago, I talked about if Michelangelo made a sculpture for you and handed it to you, and it's the most gorgeous thing in the world, and you put it front and center in your house, you had a big foyer, and you actually build a special table for it and put it right there in the center, so when someone opens the door, bam, that's what they see. I mean, it's just incredible, mind-blowing, incredible. And when people walk in the door and they see this sculpture, they go, oh, wow. What is your response? Pride, remember I said, is truly, I mean truly, stupid. It's pure stupidity. And what does a proud person do in that scenario? A person walks in, oh, they gasp at the look of this sculpture, and the proud person living in the house would say, yeah, I know, it's incredible, isn't it? I mean, they take it as if it was their doing. But a person who's thinking correctly, we go, I know, isn't that incredible? Michelangelo gave that to me. Michelangelo made that. I mean, all the credit goes to Michelangelo. He's the one that made it. I didn't make it. True humility simply recognizes all that I have. That statue represents a gift, right? All that I have, I didn't do it. He did it. God did it. God gave me the gifts and the talents that I have. I was talking to my nephew, my great nephew, Jonathan, one day. He does extremely well in sports. He's very athletic. And we started talking a little bit about this. And I was like, just remember, man, where that came from. It's awesome. Go with it. Use it for everything you've got. Just don't ever forget where it came from. Because, you know, in sports, how easy it is when you walk out on the field and you soon get to be known as the guy. Everyone's waiting for, you know, this guy to get the football. I mean, you can quickly get the big head. Really valuable. I mean, super valuable to have this truth operate in your heart. You know, you could be out there in the field and you realize the guy to your left and the guy to your right, man, they're not nearly as good as you are. You can get frustrated or you can have compassion because you simply recognize God gave me more talent in the area of sports than this person. What you don't know is this guy may be off the charts in mathematics and you're like dumber than a box of rocks. I mean, he just has different gifts. That's all. Right now, this is where my gift shines. And so we should want to encourage the other person and say, man, you're awesome. I love having you out here in the field with me. You know, we encourage. We don't put them down because this particular talent isn't their strength. We're set free. We get set free of this pride. We walk in humility because it's a simple knowledge. My gift came from God, period. Whatever it is I'm good at, it came from God. Even if you're good looking, came from God. I mean, how much time did you spend fashioning that nose, forming your eyes, structuring your lips? I mean, where exactly did you get the material for your lips? I'm just curious. Was that at Home Depot or where'd you get that? Is that some people actually? Silicone? Just thought of that. I'm sorry. So this is the mindset of a humble person. So a humble person, really, when they're walking in true humility, they're not even concerned with self. They gave itself up. They gave it to the Lord. Lord, I'm yours. And so when they walk into a room, all they see is people to love. That's it. There is no comparison. So why did I go into this whole thing about the comparison? Because the reality is it's a process, and I recognize that. But I just wanted to give us a nice step in the right direction. Hey, if you're going to compare, at least compare correctly. They may have more gifts, but they also have more responsibility. They may have less gifts, but they also have less responsibility. So let's just, you know, I mean, at least look at it accurately. It'll go a long way in getting you towards true humility where you just say, let all that go. Let me just love, because that's what we're called to. Amen? All right. Now we're going to move on to another point I want to bring out of this parable. Really powerful point. And it's probably going to seem a bit heavy, but let me tell you something. It is heavy, but it is good. It's really good. So just, you know, it's kind of like the surgeon. If I start to open you up and you feel a little pain, just be patient, hang in there. Don't run off. Give me a chance to sew it back up. It's all going to be good. It's really good. All right, so notice something out of this verse. Jesus said, let me ask it this way. Who did Jesus praise and give a reward to? Those who used their gifts or those who did not? Right? The humble person, therefore we get out of this because this is a humble person, the humble use their gifts. The point being, so Jesus looks at the one with five and he says, well done. He made five more. He looks at the one who has two and he made two more and he says, well done. The humble person does not say, because, you know, I've been kind of emphasizing this part about being nothing, but I try and always make sure you understand the other side. That means apart from God. Now, every time I say, the reality is you and I are nothing. To the degree, now be ready. You got your seatbelts on? To the degree that bothers you when I say you are nothing, to the degree that bothers you, it's to that degree what? You have pride. Ouch. But that's literally the truth. I mean, that's it. Just take it, you know, just I mean, that's the truth. To the degree that bothers me, it's to that degree I can recognize I'm still walking in pride. But if you just know the whole truth, there's nothing to be bothered by that. It's just the reality. God made me. All that I have comes from God. And apart from Him, therefore, apart from Him, which means all that He did, if Michelangelo came and took his statue away, how many statues do I have? Everything that came from him, if it's gone, I have nothing. If my whole house was made up of statues, it's kind of a weak analogy. But anyhow, if God took everything away that He made, I would be nothing. In fact, I don't even exist. I came from Him. It's in that sense that I'm saying it. We are nothing apart from Him. But here's the beautiful truth. We're not apart from Him. Paul said, I can do, well, how much? All things. Now that sounds pretty boastful, doesn't it? I can do all things. Wow. I mean, can imagine someone saying that to you. I can do all things. What would you say to that person? Yeah. Or what would you think about that person? Let me say it that way. Prideful. But does Paul end there? No. He says, I can do all things. What's the rest of it? Through Christ who strengthens me. He recognized where his strength comes from. And here's what a humble person does not say. This is the point I'm trying to get to. This is not humility. I'm just nothing. I'm just a worthless nothing, so I can do nothing. That's not humility. That's the world's view of humility. A humble person says, what I have, I receive from Him, and I will use it to its fullness. That's humility. I know that what I have is a gift from God, and I will use it to its fullness. God says to that person, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I'm looking for. I didn't give you the talent so that you could bury it. If I knew you were going to do that, I'm going to give it to somebody else, which is exactly what he does in the parable. No, the humble person doesn't say, I'm nothing, my pastor keeps telling me I'm a nothing, therefore I can do nothing. You didn't hear the whole message. You are nothing apart from God, but you're not apart from God. And you actually do have a whole bunch. All I'm saying is that came from God. And so now that you recognize what you have came from God, use it to its fullness and you will please God. So here's the point. Here's the one-liner out of that. The humble person serves. That's what a humble person does. A humble person truly is a servant of all servants. Jesus Himself. In fact, I want you to see this. Go with me to Luke. Where is that? Luke 22, I think. Let me check that real quick. Yes, Luke 22. Let's read something here real quick together, starting in verse 24. Is that right? What time is that? I don't think that's right. Is it 11 till? Or is that, what's that say? Huh? 11 till, okay. Well then, who put this clock up here, man? This thing's useless. All right. So, Luke chapter 22, verse 24. But there was a rivalry. Now these are the disciples. They're hanging out with Jesus. I mean, they're hanging out with who? Jesus. For at this point, I don't know how long, probably about 2 years. It's towards the end of Luke. Maybe it's 2.5 years. They've been hanging out with God. Oh, my goodness. I got to be careful here. I mean, but look at this. But there was also a rivalry among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. I know. Now, you know, we all do just as stupid a thing. I mean, I'm just as stupid. But it's still kind of humorous. They're hanging out with God, man. Oh, my gosh. 3 years with this guy, and they're with God, and then they're saying, hey, man, you know, they're arguing amongst themselves who is the greatest. I don't think they were getting the point. And Jesus said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. So he's simply saying, I recognize how the world works. Those who are in authority lord it over those who are below them. And Jesus said, but not so among you. Now get this, this is the mind trip. I mean, this is a whole other paradigm that Jesus is introducing. But not so among you. And I really want us to get this. On the what? Contrary. What's that mean? Does that mean kind of similar but a little different? On the contrary. I lost my place. Where am I? There it is. He who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who what? Serves. Now look at Jesus. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? You would think, obviously, he who sits at the table. I mean, if you have a servant in your house, you're sitting at the table, who's the greater one, the person at the table or the one who's serving? And Jesus even says, is it not he who sits at the table? But he's saying, in the world that you grow up, yes. Yet, I am among you as what? One who serves. Jesus is saying, listen, it's entirely different in my kingdom. If you want to be in my kingdom, it's different. I'm asking you to be like me. And you say, man, this is heavy, Brad. I mean, you're talking about, I got to like serve people, man. This is a heavy sermon. That sounds like a burden, man, you're putting on me. I got to like serve everybody. Because we're just so used to a whole lifestyle. We serve who? Me, myself, and I, baby. I mean, you know, it's my career, it's my life, it's my everything. We spend our life serving ourselves. And Jesus wants to open up a whole new world to us. You know, one time many years ago, I went scuba diving for the first time in my life. I was in Acapulco with my dad and a couple brothers. And you know, in Acapulco, they really don't care if you live or die. Not important, as long as you rent their equipment. So we rented their equipment, and we hired a guide, and he took us down 50 feet the first day. Now, if any of you know anything about scuba diving, that's complete insanity. We went 50 feet, no training. Oh, I mean, he trained us in the boat for about 60 seconds. All right, here's you put the mask on right over here. Okay, there's snorkeling. Okay, let's go. And we jumped over. We went down 50 feet, and we swam. We came back up. Everyone's alive and well. And we had a great time. So I have a great idea. Let's go 100. And my dad's like, really? You want to? And I'm like, yeah, that was awesome. I can't imagine what's down there at 100. And so he asked the guide, you think we could do that? And he goes, tomorrow. And he goes, okay. So we come back. He goes, because we need more air in the tank. We don't have air. So we go back the next day. We all have air in our tank. We go down 100 feet. And he did talk to us about buddy breathing. Who knows what buddy breathing is? Okay, if you run out of air way down there, you have to grab someone else who's got air, and you share air on the way up, right? It's called buddy breathing, right? So he told us a little bit about that. Thank God. Because we go down 100 feet. Here's the point I want to make. I'm kind of side tangent. You know what's at 100 feet in the ocean? A whole other world. Oh my God. I am so glad I suggested 100 feet, even though I almost died. It was an incredible experience. I mean, literally, another world is down. It marked me for the rest of my life. I've never forgotten it. I'll never forget it. I now know as I travel around the world, every time I'm in a plane, I fly over the ocean, my mind has a whole different image than it ever had before that day. I know what's down there. There's literally mountains and highways, cities. But I mean like cities of coral reefs, highways of pathway between valleys where fish are flowing. It's another world. And I'm sitting there, and these schools of fish, brilliant color, hundreds of them come swimming right by me, just kind of go right around me. They just assume if I'm down there, I belong there, right? They weren't afraid of me at all. They just swam right by. Incredible. Well, and then at one point, I was like, no air. So I got the guy's attention. I'm like, no air. And he's like, smiles through his mask, no problem. Swims around the back, does something, comes back, he nods. And I went, and then he got big eyes because he's flipped a reserve tank and there was no reserve. There was no air. So then he got scared, and then I got scared that he's scared. I'm like, if you're scared, this is not good. So then he grabs my arm real firmly, kind of like, I'm in control here. You're not taking off. And then he takes his mask out, pulls my mask out, and gives him his mask. And we went up real slow. They have to go up real slow. If you go up fast, it'll kill you. So anyhow, we went up slow. I survived, as you can tell. I'm still here. So anyhow, the point being, it's another world. Jesus, you're like, he lost his train of thought. I did not. You might have. I'm good. Jesus is wanting to open up a whole other world to us right now. It's a world of servanthood. And it's awesome. I have slid in and out of this. I can speak from experience, even though you don't need that. The word is enough. And I'm just trying to tell you, because I know this is a hard one, to actually believe this is actually a great life. I've gone for years where I'm absolutely operating in this, and then I let the world wash over me and pull me out of it, and I start getting me, myself, and I mindset again. And what, you know what happens? This is crazy. The world of servanthood is actually easy, and it's beautiful, and it's filled with joy. And you know what else it's filled with? Peace. It's beyond explanation. It's pure joy. The world where it's me, myself, and I is hard. It's a grind. It's every day fighting and grabbing and reaching and clawing. You'd swear it's got to be better if I take care of myself. But the Word of God says that the kingdom of God operates entirely on an entirely different paradigm. He says, lay down self, pick up my cross, and follow me. Now listen, Jesus says it this way, come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden. And what will happen? I will give you rest. You say, this is a yoke, man, this whole servanthood thing. It is. No denying it. It's a yoke. Jesus says, take my yoke. So there's a yoke. You all know what a yoke is, right? You got two oxen together, just for those who don't. It's like a big contraption with two holes in it for the necks of the two oxen so that they walk together in unity, so that they work together. One's not trying to go ahead of the other, right? They work together and they can accomplish a lot more. Jesus is like, yeah, strap my yoke on you. I want you to work with me. Instead of you doing your own thing, do my thing. Now, Jesus isn't going to strap our yoke on him. He's never going to do our thing. He says, you have to take on my yoke. I'm doing my thing, and I invite you to do my thing with me. He says, take my yoke upon you for my, what? My yoke. He didn't say there isn't one. I have it. My yoke is easy. And he doesn't say it's not a burden to serve. He says, my burden is what? Light. It literally is. It's like, wait a minute, you mean like, forget me, serve everybody else, and that's better? Jesus says, yeah, it's incredible. It's much better. Let me just give you an example. I have so much more I want to say on this, but I'm out of time. So I'm just going to give you, I want to end this, because right now you're probably still saying, I see it, it's in the Word, but man, I'm just not really buying it. I mean, I have a hard time believing that. I know that that's what you are thinking, because very few people actually do this. Because we don't believe it. That sounds great, man. That's good church stuff right there. And then we leave, and bam, we're right back into the world. We do the world's thing. We do the world's way. And Jesus is saying, there's a whole other world. Just like down there in the ocean, there's a whole other world you can step into. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever gone on a missions trip where all you did was give yourself away for 2 weeks in Haiti? Or Zimbabwe or wherever. Have you ever done that? Raise your hand if you've done that. What was your experience? What was your life experience? Would anyone care to share, like briefly, like 3 seconds? What was your life experience like? Was it?
Best week of my life.
There you go. I love it. Anybody else? Exactly. I've done it a couple times. Every time, they're the highlights of my life. And what did we do? We gave ourselves away to other people. We just served. You know what happens? You get into agreement with heaven, and the grace of God flows in your life. You step into a river, and you're like, this is crazy. Why do I feel so good? You can't figure it out logically. It's the kingdom of God operating in your life. It'll rain on the evil and the good. God's kingdom's raining on both. They both will partake. You can take someone who's a complete unbeliever, have no relationship with Christ. If they will step into this river of servanthood, they will experience the kingdom of God in their life. It's incredible. Have you done anything here in this church? You know, we got some construction going on here. I can guarantee you, those who are doing stuff here around the church feel better in their life than those who are not. I know that may seem a little heavy. I'm not trying to put any heaviness on anything. I mean, I kind of am, but let me tell you something. I have all my life and all the years that I've walked with the Lord and all the churches that I've been in, I have always played a major part in the church, some way, somehow. I mean, people may not have seen me. One church in particular, I remember in California, I built the stage, I hung the house speakers, I cleaned the bathrooms. Every single Sunday, without fail, I was doing something in the church. Every church, with one exception, I have always been majorly involved in the church. And the one church I didn't do, I did hardly anything. It was at the Big Vineyard. I was there for 8 years. I did a few things. I taught a Bible study a couple times. I was on the worship team for a real brief time. I did a couple little things. Basically, I did nothing the 8 years I was there. And let me tell you, it was the flattest church experience I've ever had in 30 years walking with the Lord. It was flat. Great teaching, great people, great church. No problem with the church. The problem was with me. I did nothing. I got nothing. I got next to nothing. It was flat. I mean, it was a great church. I received nothing. I shouldn't say received nothing. I received very little. You know what I'm saying? What's that? That's right. That's why they call it a service. I'm just saying, I don't say the part about where I did good to boast. That's why I wanted to share the other side. I'm just saying, from experience, there is no question what life is like when you spend it serving. It's awesome. When you go to work, instead of just going to work to take care of yourself, God says, do your work as unto who? The Lord, and not unto men. Well, how are you going to do it as unto the Lord? He says, not with eye service, as men pleasers. Don't try to look good. He says, do good. Bless them. Be a blessing in your workplace. I mean, just go out of your way to serve the place. You think, I don't want to do that. They're going to take advantage of me. That's the world's way of thinking. God says, do it. Trust me. See what happens. And there's a promise. This is Ephesians chapter 6, verses about, 22-ish to 25-ish, I think, somewhere around there. He says, he calls it masters and servants. You just know that's the language of the day. That means employees and employers. I said I was closing, but you know how I am with that. This is my third closing. No, this is my. I do. Okay, excellent. That's great. You know, it's funny. I did check it yesterday. When is that game? Is anyone going to show up at church? And I saw 6:30. I went, oh, praise God, we'll have church. Okay, where is it? No, I was totally off on the verses. Ephesians chapter 6, and it starts at verse 5. I don't know who said 22. Get off this microphone. Verse 5, it says, servants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, because God is your master in heaven. So he clarifies, according to the flesh, talking about your boss, with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart as to Christ. Serve them as if you're serving Jesus, because you are. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of God, doing the will of God from the heart. Look how many times he says this. With goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Verse 5, as to Christ. Verse 6, as servants of Christ. A humble person is a servant. Verse 7, as to the Lord. Three times in a row. and not to men, knowing. Here it is. Here's the paradigm, the new heaven, the new earth, the new world that you step into when you do God's way. Knowing something. What? Whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same. From where? Where's it going to come from? From the Lord. The kingdom of heaven will come into play. You may not get it from right there on the job. You may be awesome on the job and see no reward, no immediate reciprocation from your boss, from your coworkers. God said, listen, I just told you, don't do it as to them. Do it as to me. What's that mean? When you're at work, you say, Lord, I'm going to serve them with everything I've got for you. I want them to see your goodness through me. That's what we are, Jesus' hands. We're his feet. We're his mouth. We're his heart to the world. He says, serve them. Why? I died for them, he would say to us. I died for them. Please, would you just love them for me? I will take care of you. Get you off your mind. I've got you. Please, just serve them. Can you imagine if all the children of God would do just that? If we all would just obey Jesus in one point, if we would just do that, do you realize how radical this world would be changed right there? There would be no such thing as an unemployed Christian. It would be like an oxymoron. I mean, it wouldn't exist. Every boss would be talking to their PR department. Hire some more Christians. Quick. We need Christians. That's all I want. Christians. I mean, because they'd be off the charts. They'd be the best employees on the planet. If we would just obey the Lord. And as a result, what a witness we would have. The world would see God through us. Because then they'd be like, what's it, you know, why are you this way? And there's your opportunity. You get to share the love of Christ, you know. You know, people can come to a church service or whatever, and they see people just exuberantly worshiping God, and it can be very strange, but it's because they haven't experienced the love event that we did. But when they see it in a way that's more palatable, like being an incredible employee, you have a whole other window, a whole other opportunity to share. Now they'll be like, well, now they want to talk to you. The people who are just worshiping, maybe they may think, those people are weird, man. I can't even handle. They don't really even want to talk to you. But they see you in a different environment where you're doing the work of God that way. Now they want to talk to you. It's just a great opportunity to show and share the love of God. A humble person is a servant of all servants. Amen. Praise God. Father God, we thank you so much for this message, this truth, and Lord, may we embrace it with all of our hearts, Father God. Oh Lord, help us by your Spirit, Lord, that we would not just let this go, but we would take it in, Father, and we would just let it go deep into our soul, and that it would never let us go, that we would just step into it. And if we're fearful at all, Lord, that you would just graciously take us step by step into its fullness. And for those feeling more courageous, Lord, that we would just make the leap into this life of servanthood, Father. Father, we pray that by your Spirit you would seal this seed into our heart, this truth in our heart. We would not lose it. And that you would, Father God, like show us the way how to do it. And, you know, just that next opportunity that comes this week for each one of us, Father God, I pray you would remind us immediately, right here, here's where you can serve. And I just challenge every one of us at the sound of my voice, when that happens, make the decision to serve. To serve them and not self. And just see. Do you experience the peace and the joy of the Lord in that process? And then when you do, because you will, just decide, let's do it again. And do it again and do it again. And soon we will be in this life of servanthood and experiencing the joy of the Lord, the yoke of the Lord, which is sweet, it's easy, and it's rest. Father, we thank you for it. Bless you for it. I pray the blessing of the Lord over everyone right now at the sound of my voice, that you would go forth with the favor of the Lord upon you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Great having the visitors. Torrin and Angel, so wonderful to have you and your kids. It's awesome. Love having you guys here. The rest of you, God bless you. See you next week. So if anyone would like prayer for anything, please come up here. We'll pray for you. Laura Meese Harris, we love you. Mwah.